Hi, my name is Stephen Martile, and this is Breakthrough Self-Sabotage with Monique Gallagher. Monique is a cybernetics transposition mastery coach. Enjoy the interview.
My name is Stephen Martile. Welcome to freedomeducation.ca, and I've got a real special treat for you today. I've met quite a few people in the personal growth industry, but dare I say it, nothing will compare to what you're going to hear today in this interview with Monique Gallagher. She's from Highest Potential Training, and here's a little background on Monique. In 2003, her skills and training were severely tested. In 3 short months, she got divorced, her mother passed away, her father was hospitalized with leukemia, she was homeless for 8 months, and she carried a debt load of $400,000. Fortunately for Monique, she had the skills and training to survive and thrive. Since then, she has built a lifestyle business that has had a huge impact on hundreds of people. Monique's training in human potential is extensive and includes 7 years in project management. She's got a corporate background in project management and has been running projects for companies such as Sun Microsystems, Bell South in Europe and South America. She is now a certified Book Yourself Solid Coach, which is a premier system for lead generating and marketing. And in addition to all that, Monique's also certified as a cybernetic transposition coach, which was developed by an engineer at MIT, which is a strategy that aligns all parts of your brain to ensure that you get the outcome you intend when setting goals, even when you think they are impossible. Monique, welcome.
Thanks so much, Steve. It's great to speak to you in this format.
Well, it's awesome to have you here, and I'm really glad that we met. So before we get into, like, self-sabotage, and that's the topic of this interview, and, you know, breaking through that internal resistance or mental barrier. Before we get into all that good stuff, tell me a little bit about how you got into coaching and how you got to where you are right now.
Well, for as long as I can remember, probably since I was like 13 or 14, I've been interested in what makes humans tick. Why do we do what we do? And why do some people, why do they seem to be able to achieve more? And it seems easy for them. And then others, like, start and they stop and they start and they stop. And it seems as though they're carrying this kind of load of balls and chains, like Christmas Carol, where, you know, they're really good people, but they're just dragging so much of their history. So for as long as I can remember, and in England, I intensely studied this topic in human growth and development, and I found that there were key things that stopped people. One of the biggest ones is their history and how they think life is, how they think they should do things to get a particular result. Which is why I just am passionate about the cybernetic transposition, big word, I know. I don't know why Stuart Lichtman named it that, but he did, tools, because no matter what someone's doing right now, whatever personal growth path they're taking or whatever coach program they're taking to grow their business, these tools are really complementary because they help someone. You can't really cut your history, but you can cause it to wither in a way. So it doesn't have as much influence, and you quieten the voice to where it becomes just, you know, background noise, and you get to go forward. And the thing with the CT process is that they don't push you to have to do it going through fear. If you're hitting fear, if you're hitting those internal kind of body feelings of, you know, hard to breathe and stomach all nervous, those are blockers. And with the CT techniques, people can then track them down and clear them so the path is easy. Because truly easy is good. And I've got an expression that you know, living a leprechaun life. Because living should be that way. I tell you, a lot of people would disagree with me, but I'm 47 right now. I know this to be true beyond a shadow of a doubt. If someone is coming up against obstacles, they're not in alignment. A part of them is saying that, you know, I don't want to go forward. I don't want to do this. I don't want to change. And, you know, the CT process has helped people with that. So back to how I got started as a coach is, I was going through just incredible trauma in my life, and I knew I needed help, especially to build a business for my son and I to live on. And that's when I came upon Stuart Lichtman's materials. A friend gave me the book, the Fast Money book, and at first I dismissed it, said, oh boy, what a hokey name for a book. And I didn't want to read it. I got to admit, I sat on it for, I don't know, months and months. Finally, I said, okay, you know what? I've hit rock bottom. I'm going to read this book. And what I found in there were, I guess, like resonated. I said, there's something here. I don't know quite how to use it yet, but I know there's something here. And then I took training, and then I was actually the one who bugged Stuart to create the certified coach program, because I knew how important these materials were, and I knew that I could teach these to people in a way where they could get it, and they could shorten the path to really greater ease and joy. And I know that's like buzzwords, but it's true. It really is true.
Well, okay, that's a good point. And I want to get to that, but before we get to that, because you said something earlier about easy is good.
Yes.
And I kept thinking to myself, easy is good, easy is good. And, you know, if you would have said that to me probably like a year ago, I would have thought, that is just crap. Because
you would
have
been one of the ones arguing with me, right?
Oh, yeah. Because to me, like I learned from my dad, so talking about how you're saying people are dragging their history and bringing it with them, I learned from my dad that you've got to work hard to earn money. That was huge for me. And so even when I started my first tutoring business over 3 years ago, I started getting clients, started working with people, but I was working my butt off, and I was trying to do a full-time job at the same time. And at one point, I just gave up. I said, this isn't working anymore. So that I don't know if you want to call it a belief, a paradigm, whatever it was, that idea that I had so ingrained in my mind was just not working. So I really like easy is good.
It is. It really is that way. And a great example of the belief from your childhood with your father, and that really is very deeply imprinting.
It's been a tough thing for me to get over, and there's probably a big part of me that still believes that, just because I do spend a lot more hours at home now that I'm working at home than I would like to be. And I've even seen the way that I've even structured some of the current the ways that I run my business is, you know, I'm spending a lot more hours than I should be. And I know that, but I'm still doing it. So it's still probably there and part of me. But before we get into that and get into the self-sabotage, I want to know, okay, I was really curious about this when we first started talking. I'm going to explain how we met, Monique. So I guess what happened was you'd written a comment on a blog post that that I did. It was how to set the right goals. That's what it was.
Yes.
You wrote a blog comment. I wrote back, and that sort of started the discussion. You emailed me. And, you know, earlier in May, I had written a book review on Stuart Lichtman's book, How to Get Lots of Money for Anything Fast. And so people just know what we're talking about here. This book is designed to help people make money fast or achieve any goal they desire by showing their unconscious mind exactly how to let them achieve what they consciously want. So fast forward a few months, we meet, and now this really piqued my interest because I see, you know, in the comment you wrote CT, and I thought, oh, cybernetic transposition, this is a coach, this is someone who teaches this, and I thought I'm really interested in to know something very specific. See, I applied Stuart's process 3 times, and even after applying what Stuart calls his super achievement process 3 times, I wasn't able to achieve my goal. It was only after the 4th time that I was able to achieve my goal, but that even at that point, it was a moderately difficult goal, and it was a 5 out of 10, 10 being, you know, almost impossible, 1 being, you know, completely effortless. It was about a 5. And so my question is, let's get to the heart of this. Why do you think that it was such a struggle for me and anyone else who has bought Stuart's book to achieve their goals using his process?
Well, you are cutting to the heart of it. I got a huge thing to admit here. I did not achieve my first goal until I was in the certified coach training program. So I had been working with Stuart's materials for almost a year and a half. And so I was probably the most difficult, obstinate, strong-willed, student Stuart's ever had, because I found that I think a part of me wanted to lead the show. And what I learned is whenever anybody starts to learn something new or they want to make a really significant change, our history comes forward. That's what kind of pulls us back. But the second thing is that our blockers are what is doing the learning. So we get this great book. We get this great opportunity, whether it's, you know, Stuart's Fast Money book or someone else. You know, someone else has an opportunity to work with a mentor, and they've got just what they need to be able to ramp their business up or to transform their personal relationship. But their blockers are the ones who come to the table to learn and to implement what's being taught. Well, if there's a struggle between, you know, a blocker and somebody else having sway, the blocker's going to win. So what happens and how the blockers kind of come in to do this sabotage is a few ways. Is one, they make things more complicated than they really are. And so the book, I will admit, is not super easy to learn from, but people do have success from it. A smaller percentage, but people do. Second thing is that people dismiss the amount of time that it takes to learn these processes. And they think, you know, it's going to take me too much time. I've got to get back to my work, my life, not realizing that once they learn these processes, everything else just falls into place and things are easier. The third thing, like, I believe the reason it's hard to learn from the book, and sometimes even, you know, from programs and coaching programs, unless you've got someone who really has the skills to recognize those blockers and won't let someone scoot out of the way, you know, they'll just keep them in the line of fire in a gentle, loving way, of course. But the thing is, these deep-seated blockers, one you were referring to, Steve, is what I would call a cell-level memory. And what that means is that when we've had situation and experience happen, usually childhood, where there's been significant emotion around it. It gets lodged in other parts of the body, not just the brain. And the conventional CT processes, which are laid out in the book, don't touch that. They don't touch these cellular memories.
Okay.
And that's
the really deep-seated beliefs or blockers, as you call them.
That's right. And that's one of the key, the cornerstones of participating in a program where you've got a guide or a mentor holding your hand while you go through those, because some of them are just immobilizing. People will touch them, but they quake with fear, and they rubber band right back to what was comfortable.
Right. So then easy is good is not so much happening.
No, easy is good. It's not happening at all. Well, other than, say someone's trying to make a change of, they're trying to give up a really unfortunate habit that they know is sabotaging themselves, like drinking, excessive drinking, that they'll start on a path and they'll be really good. They'll stop the drinking, you know, boy, it's been a week, it's been 10 days, it's been 2 weeks. And they're just feeling so confident, so empowered. Their business is going forward. Their relationships are really good. They're feeling good about themselves. And they'll hit a bump. Something stressful will happen in their life. And their coping pattern to calm the stress and the fear is to have some alcohol. So unless they have something in place, like these CT blocker clearing methods, they're going to fall back to the old pattern of relying on the alcohol to calm and comfort and reduce the stress, which would be deep cell-level memory.
Okay, so I've got a few questions now that you've said that. These cell-level memories that come back to, like you were saying, dragging your history into the present and into the future. I guess the first question is, how would you identify them? How do you identify these blockers? And then the second question I have is, like, what are the methods?
How to identify them is, boy, you're really trying to pull a lot out of me right now. Let me think. Okay. Well, one way is a cellular memory would be if someone's tried the CT clearing methods, like referenced in the book, base reframing or subpersonality negotiation, and the blocker keeps coming back. You know, it's a little easier, but it's still gripping them. Then that's an indication that it's a deeper blocker, a cellular memory. Another way... Go ahead.
So, people listening also got this. So you're saying that the base reframing and the subpersonality negotiation, that's sort of like the first tier level resolution or methods to use in terms of resolving these blockers?
Exactly. Yep.
Okay, good. That makes sense.
So if a blocker keeps coming back, that's an indication that it's not being cleared, and or it could be a cellular memory. Another indication is if it seems to be kind of a global pattern where life's always like this, you know, no one can be trusted. These global beliefs, and I'm sure you can, you know, with your work, Steve, as a coach, you've come upon that with people where they have these deeply entrenched beliefs. There's nothing you can say. There's no matter of proof that's going to change that for them. Working, you know, living is hard. You know, to make a lot of money, you got to be working, you know, 6-7 days a week. The beliefs like that, and I know those to be cell-level memories. And unless they're addressed, guess what? Their present will equal their past. Their reality is going to be what their beliefs are, and it will keep manifesting in multitude of ways. So you asked me a second part of the question, Steve.
Yeah, well, the methods, you were mentioning the methods, and I was thinking about the methods, and like someone who wants to recognize these and get clear of them, is it like once they've – I'm trying to – and experience this or imagine this. Once I've gotten clear of the blocker, what changes for me? How do I change? Is it immediate? Does it take time? Is it like, you know, a long process? Like I know that your training, for example, is a 4-month program. And so I'm kind of wondering what the process is and how long it takes. Like, will I see immediate results? Like that sort of thing.
What usually happens, if I can take the example of the 4-month program, that what I've discovered is that change takes a little bit of time. Yeah, there's this belief that, you know, you can have an instant aha, you know, enlightenment like Eckhart Tolle, you know, the power of now.
Right.
And I guess that is possible, but in my experience that changing habit patterns and changing beliefs takes time, and there's got to be a track record of incremental successes that people can then look back on and say, oh, yeah, you know, it's working. So one of the first things that I find my clients saying when they start working with me in the program is that there seems to be a synchronicity, synchronistic events happening, coincidences happening. And for them, that makes their life a little bit easier, and so they embrace that. And then over time, more and more of that happens, so they start to get this actual experience of easy is good. And if they stay in that kind of leprechaun zone, then they do find themselves achieving their goals with minimal effort, conscious effort. There's a lot going on unconsciously, getting them oriented, getting them right in the right way of opportunities and the right people, right time, so that these things are happening with a lot less work and a lot less effort.
Okay, so then the unconscious is doing most of the work. Is that what you're saying?
Yep, exactly, because it all begins there. You have to believe it before you'll see it. And I know the secret, and there's a lot of work out there about manifesting, and I think they do a great service to help people get their brain around how important beliefs and imaginary experiences are, but they only take us that far, and the cybernetic processes take you that step further when you hit a blocker, which inevitably people will. Then you can clear it, and you're right back into this, wow, you know, I believe it again, and wow, I can see this imaginary experience happening.
So Monique, so some of the people you've worked with, people that are people in business, people in relationships, you mentioned some of that. Is there who is this program for, and how, you know, this 4-month training that you do? I'm just curious about, like, you mentioned about self-sabotage, and we talked a little bit about that and addressing blockers and then some of the processes. But I'm just trying to think demographic, like people who would be the right fit for this type of program.
People who would be a right fit are people who embrace personal growth, and they believe that their business, their career success comes from their internals changing. Someone who's pursuing business success and think that they're going to be able to just change, you know, their marketing language on their website and everything's going to happen, or they just need more money to advertise and everything's going to happen, they're probably not a good candidate, because this is some inner work. This is, I know I've got some blockers and I'm ready to track them down because I want to have some ease in life. So primarily they have to have an interest in personal growth and see the value of it. Second, that they have to embrace personal responsibility. I think, Steve, you and I, in one of our conversations, we were speaking about, I think you mentioned Landmark training.
Yeah.
Right. And I think Landmark and its precursor, EST, really emphasizes that we create our reality. And so that personal responsibility is really important. Someone who has a belief that they're a victim, that the world is doing all this to them, they're probably not going to get on very well, unless they say, you know what, I'm ready to change that, and I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm tired of feeling like a victim. Then they wouldn't embrace this, because then they're going to be fighting what I'm trying to teach them to release their history. They're going to keep arguing with me why it has to be that way. They're going to be proving all these reasons why the world is horrible and why proving they're a victim. So that'll just take them out of any learning possibility and catching the wave of this kind of leprechaun luck and leprechaun life. So
you know,
who that's not for? I'm sorry, I didn't address who it's for. Go ahead, ask your question.
No, I was thinking about what you were saying. You were describing the people who it's not for, and I was thinking about these people that I know and how it's, you know, it's there's this stuff out there, and that's happening to me, and that I'm not happening to it. And like you had said, that inner work. So, okay, I totally understand that, like the people who would be suited for your program, people who are willing to look at themselves, take personal responsibility for where they are, and then allow a process that you teach and train, help them get to where they are, where they want to go.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, and it is trust the process, and that's a key one, yeah.
That's so interesting, because when I was in a project engineer, process was pretty much 90%. You know, connecting with people, having good rapport with people, building relationships were really important. I've always said that's really important, but the process was the underlying foundation to all that. As long as you follow the process, then you would always get the result that you'd set out from the very beginning. And, you know, the process we followed is you build a concept. And once you build the concept, then you get the engineering design. And then once you get the design, you start putting the outside work together, like the construction. So it's so kind of so funny, because the concept or the idea, the internal work starts first. And then you build the idea, the engineering, and you put it to paper. And you get that, you know, that your goals set up. And once you've got your goals and everything on paper, then the outer work starts to show up. You know, you start taking action, or the, in our case, it was the construction and the building of a plant or whatever it was. So it's to me, it's sort of similar, the process that people go through.
Definitely. The first module is in the training is building your foundation, where you're kind of identifying past successes, you're clearing past quote-unquote failures, uncovering key obstacles, pivotal area of someone's life that's put the brakes on. And then the second module is the goal setting that really delivers the outcome that somebody wants. in a way that makes sure that all parts of them are in agreement. And the biggest word of the last month for me is congruence, that someone's internals match their externals. So their actions are matching what their internal beliefs are. And so the goal setting that delivers teaches these core goal setting processes and clearing processes so that someone can quickly get back on track. Because how many people start something and then they get thrown off course and they can never find their way back with as much enthusiasm and muster, you know, as that first time. And then the third module is in the implementation phase, where it's tracking the progress. It's where the rubber hits the road and someone finds them moving into inspired action. It's not just action, because we can do massive action. I bet you can agree, Steve. We get lots apparently done during the day, but it's the inspired action that is focused and is getting us to our target that really makes the difference. And you go down, you go to sleep at night, lay your head on the pillow, and you say, "This was a good day. Look what I did." Right?
It's so funny you mention that, Monique, because I was talking to another blogger that I connect with, and he's in a personal growth field, and he lives out your way. He's in California, and he said to me that he's in between blogging and jobs right now. So he's blogging, but it's just not bringing enough money yet. So he's actually working in a job, and he said to me that he's sitting there and he's looking at the page, and he's like, "I really, you know, would just love to, yeah, I just want to make this happen and get some resumes out and call some recruiters and just get out there." And he just wasn't feeling it. What he really wanted to do was go surfing. So he went surfing and he came back and he had two calls from recruiters for job interviews.
It's brilliant. I can't tell you how many times that's happened for me. I like to travel, and so my son and I will go off skiing for several weeks during the winter. And inevitably, when I make my schedule and I make the space in for skiing, new things will happen. New things will pop in my business, because part of it is us relaxing. When we're holding so tightly to control and to the reins of, it's got to be this way, it's got to look this way, if it doesn't, you know, it's just not going to work. Well, we don't have that ease. We're not allowing, I guess, for, you know, using the secrets word, kind of the universe to manifest things in our life. So relaxing is so key, and letting go of those reins, and may I add the word, kind of surrender in a way.
Yeah, that's good. Really good. Let go, letting go.
Letting go. Yeah, even though as scary as that is, but letting go and trusting the process, like you outlined brilliantly from your engineering background, is trust the process. You don't have to trust the person, but trust that this process will get you there. Because it is kind of hard to trust people initially until you know them for a while.
Mm. But the process you can trust, definitely.
Yep.
Well, I guess like I was saying, like I did see some results with Stuart's book and How to Get Lots of Money for Anything Fast. And some of the, I guess what I'm wondering is, so if I didn't get the 10, the most difficult, you know, target that I set for myself in this super achievement process, so what do you think, where do I go from here? What's holding me back?
Well, let me see. A couple things. In my program, I generally do not recommend somebody set a 10-level difficulty goal first time round. It's fine if it's a 7, 8, 9, or 10. Because what I want, we're so trained to have fear of failure. What I want is someone to have a track record of successes. So the way I've orchestrated the program is somebody could actually start and set and achieve one goal if they do it over like a month period, and they have enough time to start working on a next one in the actual the full 16-week program. Because I find that seeing results and having a background of success inspires people to want to do more. If someone sets a near impossible goal, 10 level in difficulty, and it's set over a 3-month or 4-month period, it's like there's a part of them that says, you know, I want to see some results now. And there's a little bit of that enthusiastic child that says, you know, kind of show me the money. I want to see something. So
yeah.
I recommend shorter-term goals initially, get a track record of success, and not make them as difficult. you know, not nearly as impossible. And I know that's the Stuart's kind of trademark, that you can achieve a near impossible goal. And yes, you can. I just don't recommend it for the first one. I've achieved near impossible goals. One I'll share with you. I've had so many, but one, I owned a home, the one where I was having to live in hotels for 8 months, that the home developed toxic mold, the three most toxic molds that are around. And I wasn't able to live in the home. And every time I went in to even, you know, oversee the work that they were doing to repair, I would get really sick. And so I was literally in bed, sometimes not able to get out of bed for weekends at a time because of how sick I got from the mold. So one day I decided I got to release the house. And I don't know how, because who's going to buy a house with a history of toxic mold? But I had to do it. So I set a goal, and I didn't know exactly how I was going to achieve it, but I knew that I had to release the house. The house was tied to my past marriage, the divorce, and a lot of pain that happened there. And everything in me in my life was saying, get rid of this house, get rid of this house. But I said, no, I like the house. So I set a goal, and within 6 weeks, I had the house in a state where it could be sold. I had the house completely renovated. I mean, literally one whole wall of the kitchen was gone. It was exposed to the elements. I had plastic on it because the construction workers abandoned me mid-restoration, completely abandoned me. The place was a mess, but I got it all set up, ready to sell. And then after that, within another 6 weeks, I had an offer, really good offer, and it was sold with a history of black mold. Now, I don't believe, Steve, that if I had not had access to the cybernetic transpositions and my skill in setting a goal around a really pivotal area of my life, which that stupid darn house was, I don't think I would have achieved it. And I may be bankrupt. I may have been bankrupt because I literally was paying a mortgage of $2,500 a month plus paying rent plus investing in my business. I would have been penniless, if not bankrupt, had I not set a goal around getting rid of that house.
That's fantastic. So, Monique, I know this is a little bit off topic, but I really just was thinking of a few questions, and one of them was burning my mind is that, you know, people. There's probably a lot of people that set goals, including myself, that they set goals and they got a sense of how to do it. You know, we've got a date and we've got a certain, maybe it's a financial goal or whatever it is. It's to meet a new person or whatever it is. And they write it out or they have their goal set up and it just doesn't happen. And they've been doing that over and over again and it's just not working. What are some of the mistakes that you find that people make when setting goals?
Let's see. One is that their conscious mind sets the goal. So if you're working with a small business owner, Steve, and the small business owner says, you know, I need to get more clients, Steve, that's the biggest obstacle I have. But, and you intuit, well, you know, wait a minute, your relationship is draining your energy and your wife doesn't support you, doesn't believe in what you're doing. And you intuitively know, well, you know, we can work on setting a goal around getting clients, but likely all of that emotional stamina that's necessary and the confidence and the belief in themselves as a coach is going to be drained away by a relationship that's not supportive and they're not empowered, which is really key for a man, that their partner believe in them fully, unconditionally.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah. So you as a coach would say, you know, gosh, I know that this is a pivotal area. This is key. We got to set a goal. But unless they trust you and they follow your process or follow the cybernetic transposition process, they're going to be setting a goal on creating clients, and they're not going to achieve it. So they're going to have one more failure. And I can't tell you how important it is to not set ourselves up for failure, especially men, because in this world, there is so much that says we're wrong, we can't do it, there's an overproving, there's, you know, men especially are having to perform. So if they set themselves up and there is not a track record where they're going to be able to succeed, it causes them to retreat further and further and further and not risk more. And so they get to be, you know, 50 years old, 60 years old and say, you know, I just got to settle to my life. You've got the advantageous, you know, your advantage of being young. You've got that inspiration. But one of the things is, as people age is that they stop believing in the impossible. They stop believing that they can really change their life. So the thing is, first is to really set a goal around something that is plaguing somebody, what I would call the pivotal area of their life, and identify that by what keeps coming up as a problem. You know, it's an irritation that just, if I were to resolve it, would just reduce my stress and aggravation, not get more clients, not increase my income, but what is it? Because that is an energy drain. That's huge. That's one of those big ball and chain things that unless that's addressed, nothing that someone sets their mind to is going to happen easily. But then once they address that, whoosh, all of a sudden they got new clients, you know, their income's coming and they're able to travel and they're just, their relationship's wonderful if they stay in that one or they move on. Doesn't mean we always have to end a relationship, but we do have to end how we're turning up in the relationship and our patterns and beliefs.
That's really good, yeah. No, that's good. That's excellent. I was just thinking about, when Trisha and I decided to, when I told her, I said, you know what, I think I'm going to quit my job. And she said to me, okay. And this conversation went over a few months. And at first she was really freaked out. She was like, well, you know, if you leave, then we only got one income and we've got a house and stuff. And we started talking about it. And at first she wasn't in alignment with that, with my choice. And so, and eventually what we did is we started talking about it more and started talking about, okay, well, what could we do if it didn't work out? And eventually she got aligned with it because she could see that my passion and my desire was really to coach and to blog and to really get out there. And when we did it, we were in alignment. And I could see that not being in alignment, how that could totally self-sabotage everything that I was going for. I can totally see that. So that makes a ton of sense.
And you know what? I got to admire you, Steve, for doing that because a lot of men would say, you know, I'm doing it anyway. And they would not take the time that argue stretch is necessary with their partner because, you know, the woman has to be in agreement. That's a whole other topic, you know, how energetic partnerships work. But I admire you for doing that. A lot of men would say, you know what? I'm doing this because it's important to me. And, you know, if you're not going to support me, I'm going to do it anyway. But you did it the right way. You took the time for her to get used to the idea because for her, security is number one, you know, for a woman in a relationship, that the man's going to be there for her and be able to take care of things. And if that security is undermined, maybe false security, you know, the money kind of thing, but then it causes her to not be able to follow and not be able to support and empower you. So good for you.
Thanks, Monique. I'm really interested in this whole topic of self-sabotage and how to get around it or resolve it so that people, you know, reach higher levels of success, potential, whatever it is, the word you want to use. And so let's talk a little bit more. We're just kind of bouncing around, but I really like this conversation. You talked about the base reframing process. You talked about the sub-personality negotiation. Are there any other processes that you use specific in your training to resolve any sort of self-sabotage?
Yeah, I'd love to share one of them right now with you and whoever gets to listen to this podcast. It's called Freeform Writing, and it's the easiest and the simplest to get started with. Everybody can do it, okay? Would that be helpful?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, great. And in fact, if I would like to invite, I have a PDF that I can, you know, give to you if someone would like to download it too. You know,
okay.
Instructions. So I'll walk through the steps here, and it's just a one-page PDF, real quick kind of blocker clearing technique. So I can send that to you. All right. So first off, someone sets a period of time like 15, 20 minutes, go into an undisturbed area of the house, you know, shut your phone off, put a little do not disturb sign on the door, and blank piece of paper and a pen or a pencil. And it's ideal to do this when someone's feeling frustrated, overwhelmed, like a free-floating anxiety, or perhaps they're procrastinating on something that's really important, and they're just not getting to it. They're not able to track down what's going on inside and what to do next. So this is a great time to do this. So you take a blank piece of paper, and for people who have studied the cybernetic transposition, they have gone through a process of what's called the inner anchor point process, which, Steve, I'm sure you did it. And if someone has it, great, but you don't have to. You can just focus on the area around your heart. And you focus, close your eyes, focus there, and you ask the question, you know, what's going on? And you can bring forward that part of you that has a message. Like, you know, who knows what's this kind of tightness in my chest is, and then this anxiety feeling and this pressure. Who knows what's going on? What part of me knows what's going on? And all of a sudden, you just find yourself starting to write. If it doesn't come immediately, it's like blank, write down, I just got blank. Whatever comes up, you write it down. And if you find yourself like writing down, I hate writing by hand, or, you know, this is such a stupid exercise, write that down. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the flow of the unconscious messages out on paper so we can do something with it. So you just freeform write, just flow, just get it out. And as you're writing, there may be a gem, like, whoa, I never thought of that. Oh, that's a good insight. Circle it. And then you take those gems and you copy it onto a new piece of paper, and you rip up the original one, because it's kind of like going to the toilet. You know, you need to flush it. You don't want to reread it. So you rip it up, and, I mean, I've actually, for some really intense ones, I burn it, and I flush it down the toilet, and it's really wonderful. It's very freeing. Then I take the gems that I wrote, and I say, wow, you know, what insights do I get from this? What inspired action can I take to resolve it, to get me into movement? Because the thing that drains people the most is inaction. We can do all the inner work and, oh, boy, I know what's blocking me. I know how to do it. But if we don't take action, we're going to keep creating the same reality that we've had historically. So taking action, speaking to the person who someone's afraid to speak of, making the change they need to make the change, you know, to do action. So after that clearing is done, action. What is somebody going to do? What are they going to, how are they going to apply it?
That's good. I was just thinking of what you're saying. That's a great exercise. That's excellent. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Oh, yeah. It's so easy, too. And I do that a lot just to get a handle on what's trying to be revealed to me, because blockers are really messages. They're saying, they're a sign we're incongruent. You know, our internal beliefs is not matching what we want to do in the world. And any of the clearing techniques I teach are really trying to get that. What's the message? How can I clear it so I can develop congruence to be able to move forward in inspired action?
Awesome. Okay. You know what, Monique? That was excellent. I was going to just ask you if there's anything else you wanted to share on the process. I've got a ton of notes. I started taking notes while we're doing this interview.
Great. I'm pleased.
So I just was wondering, is there anything else that you wanted to share with anyone who might be, you know, curious about the cybernetics transposition, what it is, how it works, and maybe a little bit more about your training?
Yeah. Well, first off is to tell you and everybody else to let yourself off the hook that, you know, if you've not achieved what you've wanted to achieve in the past, stop beating yourself up, because that only increases the inhibitions And that's one of the first things we need to do is shed inhibitions and almost get back to this childlike optimism that I can do it. If you've ever watched a 2 or 3 year old watching somebody do something for the first time and they're like, I can do it, you know, kind of get out of the way. You know, I can do it. And that activating that part, because you can do it. It's just you haven't been taught. You haven't been taught, you know, how your brain works. You haven't been taught how damaging the effects of the programming we've been subject to, you know, by our teachers and our loving parents and our partners and, you know, our children, really. We've not been taught how to release it. And we've also not been taught that what we focus on persists, so that truly by creating imaginary experiences that are activated in all the levels, kinesthetic, body feelings, verbally, you know, and visually, without having access to that ability to do it, where you can actually, you get chills in your body when you know that the goal you just set, there's complete congruence and alignment with your being. You'll feel it in your body. And sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, it just happened. You don't know how, but you just set a goal and it's already started. It's been activated. So to let yourself off the hook. And then say, you know, I want to have different tomorrows. I don't want to keep repeating what's happened in the past. And invest in yourself. Because I believe, truly believe, that the highest potential training is the best investment someone can make. It's an investment in themselves that pays tremendous dividends, not only short-term but long-term, in terms of an increased quality of life and joy. And that to me is what inspires me, is I want to bring more joy in the world. And I think that through these methods that I teach, I can do that. And it also gives people the ability to achieve a near impossible goal. And up to 95% of people taking the program achieve a near impossible goal first time. Especially if they listen to my intuitive sense of what that key goal should be, then just blows through the roof their success. And I think the time is right now, especially for people who are in transition or small business owners, that whenever the world has gone through a severe recession, which, you know, involves tremendous job losses and economic losses, there's powerful evidence right now that we're near the end of the recession. And the recovery, although it's going to be slow, it's the right time to actually come in strong with scooping up market share in other industries. Because what happens during these times of transition, which is what we're in the economy, is the people who really didn't deliver their stuff, they were just kind of riding on the wave of inflation and property prices increasing, but they really couldn't deliver as service professionals, as, you know, coaches or IT consultants, that they were just kind of riding on the wave of people will just throw money at a problem. They've dropped away. And I'm Steve, you probably have found this, that the people who are really know their stuff, they're starting to start rising to the surface right now. So investing in yourself to be able to take advantage of that wave that's starting to onset, and we're going to see it happening in September, that now is the time. Now is the time to make sure that your blockers don't take you out, because we've got a wave coming. Are you going to catch it, or is it going to ride way over your head? And people are going to find themselves going back to employment instead of doing what they love and bringing their gifts to the world. I want to help people do that. So catch the economic growth wave now, because there's tremendous opportunities. But without the knowledge of yourself and without the knowledge of the blocker clearings, which, Steve, you've got, that it's going to take people out.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I really wanted to thank you, Monique, for doing this interview with you. I really appreciate it. It's great to meet and connect with you, and hopefully we can do more of this later on.
Oh, I very much enjoyed it, and your questions are great. You've obviously Steve, you are one of the coaches who is doing the inner work, has done the inner work, and anybody would be blessed to work with you because you're so present, you're so genuine, and you really want to help, just like me. I think that's why I like this idea of connecting with you and seeing how we can support one another and the people we serve, because we really want to make a difference in people's lives.
That's fantastic. Thanks so much, Monique.
All right. Thanks, Steve. It's wonderful. Thank you so much for the opportunity to connect with you, get to know you better, and to share it with people.
So that concludes the interview with Monique Gallagher, Cybernetics Transposition Mastery Coach and Breaking Through Self-Sabotage. I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and I've included a link below so you can check out some of Monique's training, Synchronicity of Power. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.